That if your people who are called your people will turn to you and pray and repent and say, we need you, you send the rain, you send the favor, you send the blessing.
To be, You take me just as I am. Promise to mold me in your hand. You don't hold back your love till I prove I'm enough. Though I can't always see how, I know you're working in me now. All you want is all of me, laying down my pride, surrendering my rights. You don't need anything.
Morning.
I guess we'd say Happy New Year, first year at church anyway. And I know it's been a couple days into the new year, but I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord. Anybody have a good New Year's Eve? Everything go good, everybody? Yeah, I was in the bed. I don't know how you guys celebrated it, but that is one holiday. I got to be honest with you, even a working man, I didn't even really consider it a holiday. It's never really been a big deal to me, New Year's. I'm thankful. It allows you just to kind of thank God for his blessings of the year. I reflect and things like that, and I pray and things like that, but I never really cared much about New Year's. But I know some people do, and I hope you had a wonderful time with your family, wonderful New Year. And we're going to start this morning off a little bit teaching, but as we always do, we like to start out with prayer. So has anybody got any spoken prayer requests right now? Yes, ma'am. Sure, absolutely. You have one, Brother Dewey. Absolutely, brother. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am. Mom, she's still recovering. She as you're talking about, Teresa, she has a hard time getting her breath. She can't get out much and stuff like that, especially this time of year, and the cold air really bothers her, so pray for her. Anybody else? repent of it. No more. Any unspoken prayer requests with the uplift of the hand, just between you and the Lord. If you're able to, stand to your feet. We're going to take these to the Lord in prayer. We want you to pray for the service as well. Pray if there have been any lost people come today, that they hear the word, they hear the gospel, and they get saved. But Terry, you care to lead the prayer. Talk about something this morning. Kind of feel led to go into since we're talking about New Year's and stuff like that. And everybody, let me ask this, and you don't have to tell me what it is. Did anybody make a resolution this year? Raise your hand. No resolution. Got a couple. Well, we all should make a choice or resolution, if you would, to try to get a little bit closer to God. Will we agree with that? Amen. Read, study His Word a little bit more. Maybe. Devote a little bit more time in prayer, and if the Lord leads you to fasting and stuff like that, of course. And but we want to talk about something. There was a time in my life. We was talking briefly, me and Terry, before we got up here. There was a time in my life, Brother Lindsay, that I played football. It's been quite a few years ago, and probably wouldn't recognize it by me standing here, but I was a running back and a linebacker, and. Probably look more like a lineman now, I'm sure. But back then, when every time we had a ball game, it didn't matter, Terry, when as soon as you showed up at the field, if it was an away game or a home game, there was a certain thing that the coaches expected. In other words, we were there to win a ball game. I can honestly say that I never remember playing any football game from midget league on up to high school that I did not think we could win the game before it started. Okay, in other words, I never went thinking we was going to get beat. We won some, we lost some, but I never went thinking we was going to lose. Not ever, ever, ever. But I remember when we get to the field, and whether it was a home game or an away game, there would be some of the guys, some of the players that would joke around. Now keep in mind, we're talking about a game day situation. And I remember the coaches saying this when they'd had enough. Okay? Get your mind right, son. We got a ball game today. Okay? Get your mind right. You hear me? And they would kind of scold them a little bit, Lindsay. In other words, this is a serious thing here. If we're going to win this game, we can't be going out and joking around and goofing off and acting like a bunch of silly butts and think we're going to win a ball game, okay? We got to get focused. We got to be prepared. We got to win a ball game. But I would hear him say many times, get your mind right, okay? That being said, I kind of thought about that in teaching today as we're going into the new year, as we talk about resolutions or we talk about maybe wanting to grow in the Lord or something of that nature. And as I was studying this week, get your mind right kind of was what came to me. So today I want to talk a little bit about clearing our minds for the battle, okay? Because I really believe with everything in me, as the coaches would try to instill in us back then, that if your mind's not in the right place, you're not going to win the battle. Does that make sense? If our mind wasn't on the game, Terry, we wasn't going to win the game. Okay, we're going to go out there and we're going to make mistakes, we're going to miss assignments, and you're going to kind of half do stuff or whatever, go through the motions, and that's not going to be good on the scoreboard. When the game's over, you're going to lose, and you're going to get your butt chewed out because you didn't have your mind right. So in other words, for us today, I truly believe that if we're going to do and accomplish in the Lord what the Lord wants us to accomplish, and I'm sure what we want to accomplish, we've got to have our minds right. So that's what I want to talk a little bit about today, because how many people here today can clearly say the devil will fight you in your mind? Amen? Bear with me here. They put me on a new medication. It just zaps me. I'm dry as a bone. But most of the time, I really believe that many of our battles, Ray, the hardest battles we fight, I truly believe that. It's between our ears. Pearl, if you don't think you can beat the devil, you're not going to beat the devil. Just the way it is, okay? If you don't think your prayers are heard by God and he convinces you that they're not, you'll quit praying, okay? And then when you quit praying, guess what? The devil wins, okay? How many of you have been watching the news here the last couple days? You know what went on in Venezuela, right? With the U.S. military and their president and this, that, and other. The details have not come out about the actual military thing that they done. But I can promise you this. One thing I know for sure. The first thing that the United States done when they went in there, as they did in Desert Storm or Afghanistan or whatever, is they took out the communications of the enemy. They made it to where they couldn't communicate one with another. They didn't know where to look up, look sideways, look backwards, didn't know where it was coming from. They were being attacked, and they couldn't call for help. They were confused and this, that, and other. So can I tell you something? If the devil's going to take you down, he's going to try his best to confuse you and take out your communication with God. That's what he's going to do. And what happens is oftentimes we allow our minds to be overrun by fear or confusion or anything that the devil can do to get it off of God, Brother Ray, and off of the promises of God. See, there's the biggest thing. I'm one of them people, and listen, I believe everybody's made different. Okay, so look, I battle mind battles with the adversary just like you guys do, okay? But everybody's different a little bit. Everybody's a little bit different, raised a little bit different, things of that nature. But I was always raised, if the Bible says it, that's just the way it is. It's truth. There's no if, ands, buts about it. It's the truth. The Bible says it. It's the truth. So that being said, when I look at something, if the Bible says that I'm more than a conqueror, I'm more than a conqueror. If the Bible says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, here's the thing that it does. It takes away the thought process that it's me that does it. Can I tell you something right now? Every single person here, not one person excluded, every person here is no match for the adversary one-on-one. I don't care how long you've been in church. He'll chew you up, spit you out sideways. I'm telling you he will, guys. It's the truth. How do I know that? Because he's been around a lot longer than you have. How many of you guys can honestly say that you got a little bit more wisdom when you was 50 than you did when you was 10? Got a little bit more wisdom when you're 60 than you did when you was 40, 70 than when you was 20. You kind of look at things a little bit different, don't you? So you gained in wisdom, you gained in experience. Well, guess what? The adversary is a lot older than you are. Think about it. He's seen it all, he's done it all. You ain't, I ain't. So we must rely on the Spirit of God and the Word of Truth, which is the Bible. And today what we're going to talk about, if we're going to truly make a difference in 2026 as a church, as a body of believers, individually or corporately, then we've got to clear our minds and get our minds right. Plain and simple. We've got to understand, Josh, what the Word of God says. We've got to apply the Word of God to our lives. Amen? I truly believe that most of the times we struggle in life because when problems do happen, and they're going to happen, I can promise you this. This is one thing I can promise you about 2026. You're going to have problems this year. We're just 4 days in. You probably already have some now. As much as the clock turned from 2025 to 2026, that problems didn't just stop at 2025, did they? Car payments still due in 2026, ain't it? House payment, power bill, whatever. Whatever you got going on, it just didn't end because the clock turn 2026. But we want to talk about clearing our minds, getting our minds right so that we can attain the victory. Can I have somebody get their Bibles out to Romans chapter 12, please? Romans 12, if you all turn to it just for a second. It's just one verse. Romans 12, one verse. We're going to talk a little bit about it. Precious as can be. Precious as can be. You got it, Brother Joe? You care to read Romans 12:2 for me, Brother Joe? Yeah, 12:2, just one verse. Amen. Thank you, Brother Joe. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. Okay? Now, the difference of being conformed and transformed, if you've been coming here any time at all, you know this, but for, you know, if you're visiting or whatever, you may have never heard me say this. To conform to something, it is from the outside in. So in other words, to conform to something would be, I like to use Nazi Germany in the 1930s as an example, because I think it's a good example. When Hitler came to power in Nazi Germany, here's the thing, not every German was a Nazi. And not every German agreed with what he was doing. But by the time he got power, Brother Joe, and assumed power in the dictatorship that he became, then guess what? When you looked at him, Ray, they all was Nazis now. Because they had to conform to survive. Plain and simple. So whether they agreed with him or knew what was going on or whatever, they couldn't say nothing. They couldn't speak up. Fear had conformed them into what Adolf Hitler was, whether they wanted to or not. Okay? So in other words, the Bible's saying for us not to be conformed to this world. So in other words, we can't allow the world to creep in, Brother Ray, to where we start acting and thinking like the world. Be ye not conformed. Don't allow the world to tell you how you've got to respond, Caleb. Don't allow the world to tell you how you got to talk, Jennifer. Don't allow the world, Vivian, to tell you how you got to think. Okay, so in other words, what the Bible is saying is don't allow the world, the outside, to contaminate what's on the inside. That makes sense? Now that being said, it says, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. To be transformed is from the inside out. So in other words, when somebody gets saved, how many people remember the day you got saved? Amen? Now I'm talking about really got saved. Okay? I mean really born again. Went to the altar hating 40 people. Had problems with your neighbors, or man, I didn't like that guy I worked with, and man, I hate her. Be truthful here now. Had a fight with somebody before you got there, maybe fist fought, who knows? But when you got saved, all of a sudden you loved everybody. I'm talking about that true born-again experience. You know what I'm talking about. Now all of a sudden there's a change that takes place. It couldn't have been you, Ray, that did it. It was something that came inside of you that did that. You were transformed by the love of God. Now all of a sudden when we get saved and we give our life to Jesus, we realize how much of a dirty, rotten scoundrel we was. Okay? We realize, you know what? It was grace and mercy that set me free and saved me. It was the death and burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Nothing I done, but everything he done. Once we accept that and we fall to our knees and we weep to that. I don't know about you guys, when I got saved, I cried like a baby. Maybe you didn't, and that's fine, but I know I did, Vicki. I cried like a baby for a long time because I knew what kind of sinner I was. I knew I wasn't able to do it on my own. I knew it was Jesus. And there was something about that experience that changed me. Now, did that mean when I left that the devil didn't hit me right in the face? No, he did. Did that mean, Terry, that it took me a little bit of while to stop bad habits, because every now and then you might let a bad word slip out or whatever? Yes, it happens. But I was being transformed every day. There was an immediate transformation because I was saved. But then now that old man has to be buried. And that new man has to rise again. And what happens is we are transformed from the inside out. Okay, so now all of a sudden, you don't want to lash out and punch Josh when he says something like you used to want to. You no longer want to cuss Ray out when he gives you that look. Okay? You want to pray for him. You love him. There's something you may not like him, but I love him. I can't hate him no more. Because there's something that has happened inside of you. You've been transformed by the love of God. Now that being said, how many of you know that's a process? It's a process. I remember my uncle got saved. He was pretty scoundrel. He was scoundrel. I remember when he got saved. And he hadn't been saved but a couple days. And he stopped by the house and was visiting my dad. He just stopped by. And he was talking and he let a bad word slip out. And I remember hearing that bad word. Just slipped out. He hadn't been saved a couple days. Less than a week, I know. He just slipped out. He was just talking. He just slipped out. And I remember being a kid and hearing it and knowing he got in church and went. Just freezing. I wasn't going to say nothing. I just froze. And man, after he finished that sentence and in that pause, this grown man, this big guy, started crying. Start crying. Because he'd said that. He knew he shouldn't. He felt bad that he hurt Jesus. That's what he said. I remember my dad, who was lost. He said, Bub, said, that's okay. God knows. He understands. Just pray. He'll forgive you. It don't mean it's over. You know, and stuff like that. But I remember that in how much it affected him. Because I remember how much of a scoundrel he was. But it broke his heart that he felt he hurt Jesus. Because he was being transformed, Joe. He was being changed because of that experience, Terry. And the Bible says we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. If we're going to clear our minds, it's going to be a process. Okay? I know you might not want to hear that. Because in America, getting rich means winning the lottery. It don't mean working all your life and working hard for it. For some people, it means instantaneous. I want to change and I want it now. What is it, Burger King? You want it my way or your way? That's what we live in. We live in a society. If I'm hungry, I want something now. Well, you know what? I can go get an old cheap cheeseburger, but if I want a good pot of chicken and dumplings, I'm going to have to wait on it. Ain't that right? It's the truth. You can have little things. If you want something good, it's really going to sustain you. It's going to take a little bit of time. It's a process. Our minds are to be transformed daily. Think about that, guys. Daily. So in other words, if we're going to clear our minds, first of all, I truly believe that we need to ask God for this, first and foremost. Okay? In this new year, Lord, I realize you've got stuff for me to do this year. Okay? I know there's people that you have already ordained for me to witness to. I know there's scripture that you want me to read and learn from. I know that there's going to be services I go to that I need to get up and go to the altar and I'm going to be afraid to. I know that there's going to be sermons I'm going to hear that I need to learn from and grow in. We need to pray, Brother Joe, and we need to lay that on the altar first and foremost. Because let me ask you a question. If you ain't willing to grow, are you going to grow? Are you good enough? Can you get a little closer? Amen. So first of all, let's seek God for that. Lord, I want to get closer to you. I want to think the way you think. I want to talk more like you. I want to be more like you. Well, then you know what? We've got to have our minds transformed daily, Pearl. Now, how do we do that? What do we need to do to have our minds transformed daily? I need to get on Facebook 8 hours a day. No, that ain't going to work. I need to watch a bunch of movies and binge on Netflix. Am I reading somebody's mail? No, that ain't going to help either. I need just to run around all the time, listen to music. That ain't going to transform your mind either. We've got to make a decision that we want to put God first in each day. That's it. Put God first in each day. When we get up, what's the first thing we do? Do you pray? Do you? Ask yourself. I'm not asking you to say it. First thing I do is I do this, brother. Okay, that's fine. That's good. Ain't nothing wrong with getting you a pot of coffee ready. But while the coffee's a getting ready, couldn't you pray? Are we praying as soon as we get up? If the answer is no, then guess what? Ding, 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 ding. There's one thing I can do. I'm not being mean. This is, hey, ouch and amen to me too, right? Do I pray as soon as I get up? Do I thank God for the dawning of another day and allow me to live to be a part of it? Does that sound like a prayer? Because I say it every day. Lord, I thank you that you allowed me to live to see the dawning of another day and be a part of this day. Thank him every day, Ray, for that. Because I know where my blessings come from. So first we need to begin to pray. We want to have our minds transformed. Pray. Are you ready for this? The next thing is this. How often do you read Scripture? How often do you read the Bible? Not asking you to answer. Ask yourself, when's the last time I have? Do I? How often do I? That's the next thing. If my mind's going to be right, if I'm going to get my mind right, if I'm going to clear my mind for battle, then guess what? I need to have the Word of God inside of me. And now I listen. I know people work, and everybody has jobs, and you have to do that. Listen, if you don't go to work and pay your power bill, they're going to come turn the lights off. Got no option. You got to do that. As long as we're in this life, we're going to have to do that. God knows that. That's the thing about it. He knows that. But he wants that relationship with you. He wants us to make time. I think about this all the time. Me and Terry and Tiffany was talking about when our kids were younger. And if some of you guys are in this age, listen, I get it. I was there too. We remember when our kids were younger and they were in sports. And we had three boys in different. Man, it felt like, Vicky, my life was a tornado and whirlwind rolled into one. Lindsay, you remember, you're going to this ball field, that gymnasium, you're just all over the place. That's a busy time, I understand that. God understands it too. But even in the middle of all that busyness, we were still able to keep our focus on Jesus. In our home and in our everyday lives, it's doable. It's possible. And if you're going to grow in 2026, if we're going to clear our minds and accomplish what God wants to accomplish, then guess what? We're going to have to make God a priority. Man, I didn't know he was going to talk about all this. Because it's important. There's people that are lost. They need reached. There's prayers that need to be prayed. There's spiritual gifts that people need to operate in. And unless we grow closer, Dave, unless we strive to be at the feet of Jesus, God can't use us, Vicky. We're not making ourselves available for God. You understand that? I have lost loved ones. I've got kids that are lost. I can't reach them. I need you to help me. And I promise you, if you'll help me, I'll reach yours and your family. This is serious, guys. The Lord is coming back soon. Look at the world and all you see. He's coming soon. Are our minds clear? Is he able to operate through us and use us? And until we get our minds right and realize the self-discipline that we need to have every day. And that's one thing. I love what Brother Joe said. What is it, Joe? You say, how many times you pray a day? One time a day. All the time. Amen. In other words, that means have a continual prayer on your heart. That's what that's talking about. You can have that prayer of the morning, but you know what? When you're driving over to Oceania, are you still not praying some? Yeah, he's praying some. You get a little pause in your day at work, can't you just say a prayer? Yes, you do. We walk in that continual flow of the Holy Spirit. That's what God wants for us this year, to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that ye may prove. How do you prove something? By your actions, yeah. But if I come to court and I'm trying to prove something, I need evidence. Okay? That's what I need. So if I come and say, I'm not saying you're a thief, okay? If she's being charged with shoplifting by somebody, they're going to have to show evidence that she took that stuff. They ain't going to be able to just say, hey, she took that. Where's the evidence? Where's the video? Did somebody catch her? Did she leave without the receipt? Did you catch her out there without the receipt? What is the evidence that we need to say you're guilty? Okay? So to prove that she's guilty, we need evidence, right? Well, the Bible says, plain and simple, that we are to not be conformed to this world, to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove, plain and simple, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So guess what that means? How many want to be in the will of God? I hear that all the time. I just want to be in the will of God.
Me too.
We all should want that. But the only way that you're going to be in the will of God, the only way that you're going to have the evidence, prove that which is good. That's what it says. Prove that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. Now, I don't know about you guys, but without Jesus, I know I'm not good, I'm not acceptable, and I'm definitely not perfect. Amen? For us to prove that which is good, acceptable, and perfect, okay, we must have the blood of Jesus applied to our lives. That being said, and for us to have our minds transformed. So in other words, what that's saying, as Jennifer just said, your actions, if your mind has been transformed, you're no longer going to do certain things. And when the court of law of heaven comes into play, and the adversary, who the Bible says accuses the brethren every single day, he goes before God and he's the accuser of the brethren, as the scripture says. So in other words, when Jennifer's saying a prayer, or Lexi's saying a prayer, or Kayla's saying a prayer, and you know what? She's messed up and this, that, and other. She done this back on last Wednesday and whatever. And she's saying a prayer and the devil comes to accuse you before God and says, you don't need to answer her prayer. Remember what she done on Tuesday? But guess what? She prayed on Tuesday too. And the blood of Jesus covered her on Tuesday too. And the only way she can be acceptable and good and perfect is to be covered by the blood of Jesus. Now, she's covered by the blood of Jesus. She realizes where her goodness comes from. Thought you guys would be more into this. But it goes on, it says, to go along with the scripture, 2 Timothy verse 1:7 says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. How many people love Holy Ghost power? We always gravitate to that one. That's Pentecostals anyway. That word is dunamis. That's the same power that fell on the day of Pentecost. Same thing. God's not giving us the spirit of fear. That's a small s, not a large s in your Bible. Big S means Holy Spirit. Little s just means a spirit. Could be an evil spirit for that matter. And in this case it is. How many of you people know that the spirit of fear is an evil spirit? Yeah. First, let's reveal that. So, God didn't give you, little s, spirit of fear. Now, I don't know about you, Ray, but I grew up, good was good and bad was bad. Right's right, wrong's wrong. Matter of fact, my dad preached that. Heard 1,000,000,000 times a day. Right's right, wrong's wrong, bub. Right's right, wrong's wrong. Whether I wanted to hear it or not. Wasn't no straddling. Right's right, wrong's wrong. I've heard it 1,000,000,000 times. Can't tell my first strike, still hear it. But anyway, he was right. But it says we've not been given the spirit of fear, small s, If it don't come from God, it can only be one other source. Because there's only God and the enemy. And there's nothing in between. Plain simple. It's the devil, it's Lucifer, it's Satan, or it's of God. There's no purgatory. I'm here to tell you there's no purgatory. Where a tree falls, there it's going to lie. We either die in the Lord, or we die in sin. Might not be popular here today. That's truth. That's a scripture. That being said, if God didn't give us a spirit of fear, Terry, then who is trying to give you that spirit? The devil. The devil. So first of all, when fear rises upon me on a Tuesday, and I feel fear, how many people know what fear feels like? Can I tell you what fear, the foundation of fear is? Ready for this? The foundation of fear is worry. Think about it. Most of the times, when fear comes upon you, it don't come, boom, just like that. Sometimes it can. Sure, sometimes it can. You get a phone call and you hear one of your loved ones was in an accident, fear could hit you right away. You fear the worst. But most of the time, we worry about things and it turns into fear. And 9 times out of 10, we worry about things that don't even need to be worried about because it never comes past anyway. But your mind has been tormented by the adversary. And you have walked in fear for 2 weeks, afraid that that was going to happen. Think about that. Now, in that 2 weeks, the devil has had you distracted with fear, and you've not been able to worship like you would like to worship, pray like you want to pray. Now, all of a sudden, he's got your attention and not God. You see what he does? This is a battle for your mind, Brother Joe. That's true. That is true. That's very true. So, the devil is fighting for your thoughts. You understand that? If he can convince you that you can't beat him, you won't. If he can convince you that you have to fight him, you're not going to win. I don't have to fight him. The blood of Jesus already defeated him. I'm not fighting to a victory. I'm fighting from a victory, and it's called Calvary. Think about that. His ending has already been settled. Plain and simple. One of these days, and I can show you in the scripture, he's going to be thrown into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are. You understand that? One of these days that's going to be. And the Bible says, I believe it's in the book of Isaiah, says there's going to come a time that people are going to look upon him in the sides of the pit and say, he's the one that weakened the nations? In other words, I can't believe I let him deceive me. This is the powerful enemy. That's his end. You understand that? But his goal is to keep you so occupied with everything else other than God's and God's will and God's work for you that you never move into it. If all you ever do is come to church and don't tell nobody about Jesus, I promise you, you're not getting much done for the kingdom. Now, don't get me wrong. We need corporate worship. We need to come together as brothers and sisters. We need prayer. We need to lift each other up. We need all those things. But if you don't ever go outside and tell anybody about the gospel, if you don't ever pray with anybody, if you don't ever show the love of God to anybody, what have you really done? Challenging, isn't it? Inconvenient, uncomfortable. All those things. But God wants us to be like him out there. I need you and you need me. But God didn't give us that small spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Now, we all talk about the power being Pentecostals. The love, you better have love. That's agape, by the way. God gave you agape love. That's extreme love. Agape love was the cross. God gave you agape. And a sound mind. That's what, guess what? That's what that means. It means a disciplined mind. Now, there's a big difference. If Lisa comes to me, and she's facing a mind battle, and listen, we can lay hands on her and pray, and sometimes God will do it like that, Vicki. I've been at a church service before, and I'll never forget it as long as I live. and people coming up, and I got done preaching, and we was laying hands on folks and praying for different people. And I remember through the Spirit, Vicki, what it was with this woman. I remember laying my hands on her and praying, and I felt, it felt a pressure, Josh. I felt a pressure in her mind, in my spirit, like a nut being cracked up, open, and the pressure got let out. I felt it, and she went down like a rock. She laid there for a long time. Well, she testified, I had a brother in the Lord tell me later on, she testified the next church service, said she'd been battling her mind battle for years and said, something clicked, something changed in me then. I ain't been like that in my whole life. God set me free. You know what? That can happen. Praise God for it. It can happen. I want you to know that, okay? It can happen. And we need to come to God for those things. But it also takes, and the majority of the time, it's going to be a result, a mind victory is going to be because you have a disciplined mind. And you pray every day and you study the Word of God and you dwell upon the promises of God. There's where your deliverance is going to come from. The majority of the time, there's your deliverances right there. In other words, you can't win the lottery, you got to go to work. In America, getting rich means hit the lotto. When reality means most of us still got to go to work, pay the light bill. If you just go out and spend all your money on this paycheck and don't pay your light bill and think I'm going to stop on Thursday and buy me a lottery ticket, now I'm going to just pay my light bill then. You're going to be in the dark and you're going to get cold. That's what's going to happen. So in other words, you know when you go to work, as much as you don't want to, that I'm doing this because I got to pay my light bill. I'm doing this to pay my car payment, my responsibilities, whatever. Can I tell you something? If we're going to have our minds cleared and grow in this year, we have some work to do. And it's not hard, guys. How hard is it to spend time with Jesus? Don't you like doing it? I do. I don't care if it's and sometimes we have them days just as busy. It's like from daylight to dark stuff. It's just, you know what I'm talking about. We can always pray a little bit. We can always dive into a verse or two. Can I tell you something right now? And I brought up the kids being in sports for a reason. Me and Terry and Tiffany was talking earlier. I see parents running around. Tornado. Got to get here. Got to get here. He's got practice. She's got practice. Oh, gosh, we got this recital. Oh, my goodness, we got this ball game coming up. Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh. They'll not miss that to save the world. They can't pick up their Bible. Can't find the time driving to work to praise God. Think about it. It may not be ball and your kids at that age right now, but you know what I'm talking about. You too. Me too. Life gets busy. The adversary has made it that way to keep you thinking about things you shouldn't be thinking about and off of God. We've got to understand that. We've got to clear our mind. Can I tell you something? I played in ball games against people that was a lot better than I was. I told you earlier that I never went to a ball game thinking I was going to lose. Not one. We played against DuPont back when I played in high school. Against Randy Moss and Bobby Howard, who went on and played pro sports. Played for the Chicago Bears, went to Notre Dame. Sam Singleton, who went Triple A for the Texas Rangers, like a knee injury away from going to Major League Baseball and hurt his knee. Played against those, but can I tell you something? I never played against them thinking we was going to lose. We never beat them, but it wasn't because we didn't try. I can promise you, and can I tell you this right now? They knew we were there. I've had people ask me all the time, man, how's it feel to get hit by Bobby Howard? I said, he can hit. Can I tell you something? Teddy Fry hit him too. Shut him down. Shut him down. It's his first time he never scored a touchdown in his high school career. It was against Mann High School. Lately Field, remember that. But my point being is this. We had our minds right. We lost. It wasn't because we didn't have our minds right and we didn't care. We put in the work. Sometimes you're going to win some. Sometimes you're going to lose some. But if we're going to grow in Christ in 2026, If we're going to grow corporately and individually, discipleship, okay, groups, getting together with those people that are like-minded as you are, whether it's in a group or you may have some prayer warriors you get together, whatever it is, you need to surround yourself with people in 2026 that'll help pour into you instead of pull out of you. Does that make sense? If we're not going to be conformed to this world and be transformed by the renewing of our minds, we need to surround ourselves with like-minded individuals that know how to reach the throne of God, that strive to be closer to Jesus Christ. Because here's what will happen. On those days that we don't quite meet it, we're having those difficult times, we get the bad news, you can maybe send a text or a message or get on the phone and say, man, I need your prayers today. I'm having a hard time. You know what, Ray? I've got people in my life that I can reach out to that are Christians and say, brother, you know what? I need you to pray for this, Brother Joe. I'm having a hard time with this. Yeah, I appreciate it. When I can't reach out, Lindsay, I've got people that other will take my petition to the throne of God for me. Get your minds right. Clear your minds. Whatever you've been thinking about, worrying about, scared of, it's not of God. God wants us to make a difference, make an impact. He wants us to witness to the lost, to help those that are in need. And we've got to have our minds clear to be able to do it. God can give you breakthrough. But if you want to sustain that breakthrough, it's going to take discipline. Reading the scripture, praying, fasting, doing those things. Because can I tell you something? God is coming back. Jesus is soon coming back. And when he comes back, he's going to be taking those that are ready to meet him. I'm as old school as they come. Not one sin is going to enter into the kingdom of God. Not one. If he comes back and we're sleeping and we ain't got no oil in the lamps, you're going to be left behind. I truly believe that. We've got to be ready. And we've got to understand that our minds are where the battle starts. Take back what the enemy has stole from you in 2026. With Jesus, we can do it. Amen?